And I do am aware that a lot of you may not know me. As people move through churches and they come and go, they shift their locations. So, yes, I'm married to Mary for 13 years, and I've been in Zambia for 13 years. Because the year I went over there, and just within 3 weeks, God brought this wonderful lady into my life. She is still over there in Chingola. As deputy head of a Christian community school called Apalo, and she is doing a wonderful work with the head teacher and the teachers there now. There's 16 teachers teaching 350 orphaned or vulnerable children from just one village, one community called Kasompi. So as you know, Mary, when I first met her, she just had a class, and that 30 children were her children, were her passion. She'd give them money to go and get a haircut, the girls to go and, get their hair plaited, as they like to do over there, plaiting extensions so they've got nice long hair like the Westerners. And they take glory in that. So Mary is passionate about everything she does, and so she wants to finish this year with her class before she comes out. And it is in the air, as we call it, with COVID and everything, that we may stay for 2 years and get her more a permanent visa for Australia. But that is all in the air, as we know. It'll be just a prayer answered if we can even get her out here at the end of the year. So the ministry I was being called to over there has just flourished in another angle that I didn't go there for. And it proves to me that whatever gifting God has given you, whether it's in your talents within you, or whether it's a gift God has given you, added into you since you became a Christian, and developing you for the kingdom of God. So that is upon my heart, that all of us have so much potential within you that we don't realize. We lock it up, our past affects it, our experiences can affect us, to be so complacent, and yet God is wanting us to push through those boundaries and those closed doors to be something for the kingdom of God. Amen. I want you to receive that precious insight this morning, because as a Christian, God has opened our ears and our eyes to understand him. You understand? So we are no more blinded to... we're not blinded to it, to where we're going. We know as a Christian we're going to heaven. That's our eternal destiny. We're safe. We're secure. But our purpose starts the moment he puts the seed of faith in us and we surrender to the Christ of the cross. And we surrender our life to him. Miracles happen from that moment. It's a miracle that the grace of God has touched your life, because Jesus came full of grace and full of truth. And you know, that is just an eye-opener for me, because if you have too much grace, where I can live the life I want to, I can please myself how I want to live, the grace of God will cover me. That means the truth has no meaning. But if I have too much truth, grace becomes very mean. So I have to, in my Christian walk, to touch the world that I live in. Whether it's in the office place or in the field or wherever, in the school, wherever I am, I have to be full of grace and truth. In other words, when the world is going off track with its rules and regulations, I have to stand for the truth. But I still have to carry enough grace that the grace of God can reach them and change them and change them forever. So I'll challenge you this morning. In the last week, the words that you have spoken or the actions you have done, the good deeds you have done, is it making heaven rejoice? Is Jesus smiling? Is he rejoicing in his spirit what you have done for him and for the kingdom of God in the last week? You see, I don't like being challenged alone. So when I open up Luke chapter 10, and find Jesus sending 70 out. Luke chapter 9, actually. He sent 70 out. How did he tell them to go? Don't worry about your clothing. Don't worry about your sandals. Don't worry about food. So then, it just challenged me. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. I'm glad there's a clock up there because I tend to go too long. I am Zambian now. Okay. So they'll always say when I preach, that was very powerful, Dave, but very short. So if you don't go for an hour and a half to 2 hours, well, you're very short. So anyway, I'll keep it as short as possible. Okay, you will read for yourself Luke chapter 9, and you'll see how Jesus sent them out. And he even warned them about what they would face. There would even be some cities that will reject you. And it says the Samaritans rejected them. He said, just wipe your hands, wipe the dust off your feet, and move on. Because in the same chapter now, in chapter 10, he says the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. So even though we face rejection in this world when we try to share Jesus and the gospel, no, the harvest is plentiful. There are souls seeking, but we have to make ourselves available. We have to sit down. We have to open up and sacrifice our own life so that we can be effective for the kingdom of God. Yes, you may have to put your plans aside when someone just comes knocking at your door, or you see someone in the street sitting by the roadside, or you, whatever situation, when you start praying, God, bring to me those that you want me to touch with the gospel. Lord, bring them into my face. Bring them into my life. That's what Mary and I do over there. Lord, don't let me waste my energy on those that want to reject you, and don't even acknowledge you as the creator of all this universe, and don't accept your son. Bring those that have a hunger to search out for you, so that when I preach to them, I'll rejoice with them that another soul has been rescued from the bondage and the chains of hell. And I think that's what drives us. If we don't enjoy our own life, if we don't feel like we're a victim ourselves, we have to be a victor to be able to rescue others. So here I see Jesus sending 70 out. And in chapter 10 then, chapter 10 and verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They were rejoicing when they came back to Jesus because they'd seen some fantastic results happening. Because if you read earlier on, we've asked the disciples to pray for these demons in my man. This one man had a case but they couldn't have no effect. But here now they were seeing the mighty hand and the power of God as they went out in faith in Jesus' name, that even the demons became obedient to the power of the gospel. And how did Jesus answer this? Just look at it. And he said to them, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, by not rejoicing in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice, because your name is written in heaven. So here they're rejoicing in the things they had seen, the power that was given to them. But Jesus has refocused this back. Look, just be thankful that by the grace of our Lord Jesus, your name is written in the eternal book. So don't get caught up in the mission you're called to. Get caught up and focused on the one who is working through you. That you're just this broken vessel that he's putting together bit by bit, so that when we do meet with him in the air, when we do meet with him in the eternal glory, we'll be vessels that he'll be rejoicing over. Because we've done a work, we've labored for him in this broken world to make a difference and rescue some more souls. I want to stir up your hearts through the faith of our Lord Jesus, that as you step out, he'll give you the faith. He'll give you such authority. And I know these texts can be taken out of context when you can grab scorpions and snakes and serpents and they won't bite you. I've heard a lot of sermons where it's taken out of context. But what he's saying is here, that when Jesus died on the cross, we are victorious. There's nothing on this earth that God himself doesn't have control of. He has control of Satan. Yes, he's running free, roaming to and fro, seeing who he can devour. So if you sleep for a moment, he will devour you. And I pray in our culture over there, you know, we pray in the morning here that the Lord would protect us and our families as we go out to our work, as we go to our workplaces. But over there, they pray more in the night as they lay their head on their pillow, that the spiritual world of darkness won't come in and affect their minds so they don't sleep at night, come in and lay all their charms and their demonic powers. They pray more for the night hours more than they do for the day hours. Do you sleep well at night? Just lay your head on the pillow and just have that restful, wake up refreshed, ready for a new day, that Lord has put that life of hope and joy in you. One verse moved me here, and that was verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. I don't read of many occasions when you said Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. I think he was rejoicing because what he had come the earth to do, and he was discipling these people, he was training them. And to think that they came back rejoicing and had that faith in him, and that it just made Jesus himself rejoice in his spirit. That the whole purpose of him coming to this earth and dealing with sin and dealing with Satan was triumphant. But nothing rejoices more when he sees you triumphant in your life, in your daily walk with him. It rejoices him. Yes, there's rejoicing in one sin and repenting, but when you walk faithfully with him and through your day with Christ, it pleases him. He rejoices in his spirit. It's available for you today. Go to Galatians 5, and we're instructed to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. And it even lists the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, so that we will live this life victorious and not as a victim. May God be glorified in your life. As you step out this week, just revise and revisit your relationship with him, your purpose here on this earth, so that you can rejoice and enjoy the fruits of the Spirit and walk in love and joy and peace with long-suffering and kindness and goodness just flowing through your veins. I'm telling you, the world around you will be drawn to you. They'll want to know what you have that they don't have. But while the world influences you and you become a victim of this world, that you need this and this is not good enough and I need to reach this goal of, if it's not centered on Christ, you won't feel that fulfillment. So may God bless his word as we've just read a few verses of his precious word. May it move you in your spirit, change you, your thinking and your, you know, we can get into a rut and it's so uncomfortable to get pushed out of that comfort zone. So may God bless you this morning. I want to share now what God has been doing through us at Living Hope in Zambia and Jingola. It's hard to put it all together. God is doing such marvelous, wonderful things. It's 2.5 years since I was home. And in 2020, I was before God and it seemed things were not growing. I expect growth when we're working for the kingdom. I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to be closed up to any other opportunity that might come where we can touch more lives. And so, really, we're building the baby unit. That need came up 5 years ago. And at that point, it's just finishing touches, hanging curtains, putting in the beds and stuff. But the farm itself, the Living Hope Farm, is what has, but the farm has been my focus, because when I went there, I saw the poverty. So I thought, how can I preach a gospel to when there's just hungry in front of me and all they were thinking about in their head is food? The white man's got money in his pocket, so now he needs to give us so that we can go and eat. And they're happy to eat once a day. You understand? So in poverty, they're happy to eat once a day. And then just chew on a bit of sweet potato or sugar cane or green mangoes if it's the season or something for the rest of the time. They wake up, they'll chew on a sweet potato. Even going to bed, they'll just chew on something. But if they have a main meal around 2 o'clock in the day, that sees them through. So it was the farming. And what I'm expressing that for is because I have green fingers. It comes down through my generation, through my dad. And two of my sons have it, just they can touch the soil, build the soil, and grow something where others fail. Is that true? So what I'm saying is, whatever God has put in you, you can use it for the kingdom. Use it. and it's up for you to be in touch with God, for him to open your eyes to understand that. Now, whatever he's given you the gift to do, you can use it for the kingdom. So I started the farming, and it took 7 years of enduring to have a breakthrough in 2020. A breakthrough, I mean, God gave me 2020 has to be double-double. So I stepped out. I had 8 employees, and then I increased it to 14, and now there's 22 on the farm. So we've actually gone triple. And when I did that, the market came up before I even got the double-double happening on the farm. So God was telling me, David, yes, I'm with you. Here's the market. Here's the people waiting for your vegetables. All the missions around, they want our vegetable. But so God has just gradually developed. But one thing I mainly did was kept focused that this is God's ministry. We'll continue just to pray over it, and that he'll empower and raise up Zambian people that will take hold of this vision he put in me so I can transfer it into them, so that no matter if I draw back, if I grow old, if I pass on, this will go on and reach all those vulnerable people spiritually, physically, mentally, for their whole being. So that's what Living Hope is about. When we named it Living Hope, it was like I didn't really understand. But you see, it's later on you understand, because everything we touch is bringing hope to the hopeless. Whether we're doing container ministry and delivering out clothing and girls' pad and all educational stuff, whether we're educating children that don't have an opportunity, whether we're growing vegetables and then the widow, we give her a case of tomatoes so that she can sell them outside her house and make a living. So there's so many angles we can look at that whatever we touch, it's bringing hope to the hopeless. And while we keep that focus, God is just increasing. He's increasing. He's increasing. So I give him all the glory that whatever he's done and what he's doing is those vulnerable. They are so vulnerable. You know, we're panicking because of the pandemic, they call it. But in Zambia, in that first 12 months of COVID, they lost 1,200. But with malaria, they lost 84,000 through malaria. So to them, this pandemic, you know, they're continuing on as normal. They're forced to wear masks to go into the big shopping centres like ShopRite, like your Woolies and Coles. They're mandatory because we're following the Western culture. But really, to them, the medication for their malaria treats it anyway. So they just take their malaria treatment. We better get started. I can talk on and on. There's a couple of things that aren't on there, like the sponsorship. I have put some photos of some orphans. They're not all young babies, but some that we've started with money that has been brought into Living Hope. Any money that you give for any other cause will go to education. 90% of it. So we've started a lot through faith that God will bring in others or just bring a bit more money for any other funds to get these through their education and into employment. So there's some up on the back table. If you just want to read their story, and if you're touched, if God moves you, well, you just let me know and we'll take it from there. It's about $300 a year through primary school to support a child. But even $20 will support a widow and three children for a month with food. It's like your little will do great wonders over there. And that's such a blessing. It'll just roll through. I tried to add, and it's a bit of amateur videoing and stuff there, so just bear with it. I'll just do it off my phone and then, yeah. Oh, I can see it. Fantastic. I was able to fly in this little four-seater to Lusaka. And this is flying up out of the airport at Chingola. This is what you see. Just little huts. It's a specialty to have tin roof on your hut. So you can see there's a bit of a design in the layout. The roads are straight and everything, but that's as far as it gets developed. Living Hope is in that photo. You can see that green bushy tree just in the V there. That's Living Hope's plot. So we're in 2,000 plots of supposed to be low class. Just out of town, we've got to know some of these guys. This is a South African. He's got a dairy farm. And I'm just saying there is wealth there. He wants to have 2,000 dairy cows. There's transport industry. Every trucking company has 300 trucks carting copper, raw material through Zambia into the Congos. There's a lot of chicken egg production in Zambia. So they're chicken sheds. They send them. The Congolese are not farmers. They're just business people, con men. It was social distancing. Yeah, that's thinking outside the square. These are 1.5 meters apart. This is just the crossing. This is getting repaired, this crossing going out to the farm. They've used that one. It washed out. Then they used that one. Now it's washed out. So we approached the council and we're getting a new road as of next week. The girls all ran away from that picture because they thought, with my phone, I might cast a spell on them. That's my dog at one of our houses. A dog is the best security, okay? He wouldn't hurt a fly. I stole that photo off the YouTube. I thought it was great because that is how they entertain themselves. Bits of wire. Found a few puff adders on the farm lately. Deadly. They have double prongs on the top, both sides, and that long. They're very. One of my best friends, he makes spoons. But see, the Chinese has spoiled his market. He used to go to Lusaka with 5,000 spoons. And
Thank you for your support. This is our home, Mukushi Road, where we are going to interact with our children. And they will speak their hearts. Your support has been marvelous. It is changing lives. It is touching lives. And it has made us who we are. Thank you.
So I didn't post everything they did. They sang and everything, but they just didn't.
Hi, my name is Fred. Hi, my name is Jess. Hi, my name is Peter.
Joy. Hi, my name is Peter.
Hi, my name is Katie.
Hi, my name is Joy.
Hi, my name is Ignatius.
Ignatius is 11 now, grade 5. We got him as 5-month-old baby boy. So that's our other house in Mukushi. We have 13 to 18 in that house all the time. I take them out for ice cream. Before I leave, I spoil them as their dad. A couple of the other boys that live with us they're doing their college, but they've got their own truck license and helped me out a lot. They're good guys. Diana there is waiting for a teacher's job. Some of the ones we support out in the field, we go and visit. So this little girl, Natasha, isn't living within us, but her grandmother looks after her. This one has eaten chicken. We taught her, gave her a sewing machine, the one Mary's hugging, and she learned to sew masks, and then she made such a good job. She said, for the first time in my life, we're eating chicken because of mask selling. So COVID was a blessing for her. One of our latest challenges was a lady had triplets, so but a lot of support has come. I use these little kids that hang around the farm just to get them out of my hair. Go and push that bale of hay over there. So from the school that Mary teaches at, this is their culture class. So the power is probably the hold up. The power is being connected. I mean, the substation put in that area at the moment. But see, all this extra railing I did when I got held back from flying, Erica would keep saying, we've got to put railings around these verandas. There's a sliding door. The kids will be able to go out on the road. So there was always something for me to do, so I wasn't sitting idle. Yeah. So there were pool gates that were sent in the container, so I joined them all together and made one a slider. So I try to utilise everything that comes in the container. Even the panels in this fence on the play area, they're just fencing panels, 8 of them. So I just made the girls were there that I've employed to do bricklaying. Laundry outside with some cement wash tubs. To square up the wardrobes, I had to put a steel frame around, otherwise the door... You know how it is. So always a little bit of extra work. We bought our furniture from this guy that makes it on the side of the road. Made out of cane, but I've had one for a couple of years. It's quite durable. So some of the blessings to young mums and stuff through the container ministry. So all the clinics, we are known so well now. All the hospitals, all the clinics come to us for baby gear. Blankets and sanity pads and everything, because they know we have a supply of them. There's a truck going out with a load to one of the 27 ACCs, we call it, or areas where we support the vulnerables. And while these videos, I'll say, the government got involved wanting to know what each NGO, non-government organisation, was doing, so they're part of it, but the village themselves give us a list of their vulnerables. The old man that has no blanket. And then we make up the uniforms or the clothing and take it out. So it goes to the right people. It's very well done, and there's 27 of those stations that we supply to. But it's not just a matter of just going to a church and offloading a whole heap and hoping it goes to the right place. It is very well structured, and we're very happy. And these are the sanity pad bags that a lot of ladies now, I think there's 4 or 5 different groups in different towns now that put together these packs. You can't oversupply. It's just an ongoing. We didn't even know that even in the high schools and that in the city, in Chingola, they would miss school for 1 week every month because of their period. So it's a great work. 2 containers are on their way over. 2 more containers will leave in a couple of weeks. So that ministry has just picked up, and God has blessed it. In a way that the containers used to cost us $16,000 to send 2 across, and it went to 28. Then we found it for 21, and when we actually got the invoice, it was the same as normal. Because Bolloré, the guy here in Brisbane, had once worked in Bolloré, Chingola, for 3 years.
A quick video
God makes a way.
I'm about to leave to fly to Australia. And it's been a great wet season. It's been a great year. And it's encouraging to see the goodness of God. I must say the foundations of Farming God's Way has been God's plans and purposes for this district, this city of Chingola, and beyond. I see prosperity in this barren land. After about 8 years of farming it, putting in what he has put in me, using the gifts that he gave me for the benefit of the people. So you can see this whole hill has been getting farmed now, which was a dry sandy hill. And I'm just going to move through. I'm going to give them the last word of encouragement before I head out to Australia next week. The fish ponds are overflowing and full. These mango trees gave us a good harvest.
So this is October when I was going to fly. So the rain, they had their first rain last night. I was talking to my manager.
Two men worked together. We have now 24 on the farm. They work in twos, responsible for their whole patch. Tomatoes, guavas, 25 different fruits and vegetables come off this farm every week. Here the team have come together, and I'm just going to give them a word of encouragement. They're having breakfast before they start their work. Always have devotions every morning here.
We sell a lot of fingerlings out of these ponds, not so much the fish. Yeah. That hill was just white sand. So you can see how it's coming darker and darker with the compost and the mulching, the humus we get it building in there. So we needed more water, so we're digging another pond for water. There's water 2-3 meters down. It's amazing.
Lunchtime. Paradise, this is. They enjoy.
That's their meal. The shima made out of maize, that lump of porridge, with some pumpkin leaves. Or
two assigned every day, different ones, to take their turn in the kitchen. So they all become good cooks. Sapalo's patch of lettuce. And onions, I suppose they're onions, yeah, spring onions. And broccoli down the bottom.
The principles we step work by on time to a standard, no wastage and with joy. Yeah. So just bring it in scripturally, even practically, their lifestyle. You know, they lie down under a tree after lunch and expect the things to just happen. And that's an effort to get them to follow such instructions, because they are just gatherers. They just, for the day, they gather, and they'll do tomorrow what they do tomorrow. So to train them in this has been quite a challenge. To arrive on time for work at a certain time. To make sure if that job's not finished, you have to finish it. You can't half-fertilize something and then not water it. If it needs water, this is my team. I have a wonderful 2 pastors, 2 elders, that keep it spiritually balanced on the farm. So anyone that needs any one-on-one, Ben Malici is there to sit beside them as they're weeding, speak into their lives. He's a prayer warrior. He's a pastor. He has a brother.
In Australia, okay?
That's Ben Malici.
Jim.
May God bless you. We are together.
That's my manager. He's got a heart of gold. But it has been getting in, get my hands dirty like this, that has made the difference. the nursery, just to get them to plant every fortnight so that we have that consistency happening. So this year was consistency. Last year was double-double. And so
this is a 360-degree photo, standing near the fish pond.
So that's about a 10-acre farm, and then about 100 metres across there's another farm, about 20 acres. We'll see it in a moment.
Well, this is Dixon and Harrison and their garden portion. You can see the challenges of all the water just after the rain, but the cabbages are looking good. They're coming along. We can grow them in like 60 days instead of 72. Even better than that. So we're happy. It's our irrigation on the next patch of marrows and tomatoes on top of the hill. This is the way we mulch. This is the way we train the guys farming God's way. Beds ready prepared for the next crop. Some broccoli over here. Already starting to irrigate. The rains have been gone for a month. But we are blessed with beautiful days.
Twenty or 30 worms to a shovelful. That's healthy soil. Nets protect against birds a lot of the time. We have a lot of birds that eat our fruit. This is the other farm where I've set up different irrigation systems and more permanent trees and stuff. We grow figs, we grow asparagus, we grow rhubarb. Yeah. We sell it all. There's whiteys, South Africans and stuff there that just are hungry. Pineapples. They think pineapples can only grow in Northwestern, but again, I just show them. Sweet potatoes all year round. And see how they fail? That's a maize crop coming up. And they've just put a teaspoon of urea right around the plant on top of the ground. That's my neighbour. So first storm will wash it away. So much training. So now instead of having field days, we just have groups come every week. Groups of 12, 15 every week. They just get themselves, whether it's a group of head teachers, group of farmers, they just come and learn. How's my sweet potato growing, farmers? Are you experts here? Joe here, I taught him how, he learned how to lay blocks at the Living Hope House. So he built this for me. And he works for me on the farm, so, yeah. So I have one of the other boys living in this house as security on the second farm. Even tiled it. It's the flashiest shower in the whole village. Just, yeah. The cook hut is separate. Strawberries do well, so here they are getting runners for the new patch. Got some women to do a piecework, one day to slash it all and clear the new patch. There's the beds and there's planting them out. So Ben Milici goes all over Zambia teaching, farming God's way. I had a pastor come up from Zimbabwe for 2 weeks. He took it back to his church, and now he's teaching 14 other pastors He learned it so quick. That's an air potato on a vine. Yeah, it grows three times bigger than that, but very tasty. Figs, I planted 60 fig trees because they just went crazy. I had a couple of trees in my backyard. And they'll pay a dollar a fig over there. Dwarf pawpaws. Just teaching them to diversify, even if they have a couple of trees in their backyard. We even sold some coffee. That was new. We didn't even have to roast it. It just sold it, picked it and sold it how it was. It was amazing. A few crates, 12 trees we have. Fire comes across that flat and burns out our farm if we do a break. So here we are burning a break. Once they think they got a farm, they just light a fire, clear it so they can make some beds and get into it when the rains come. Here I got four ladies to level this quarter of an acre. You can see that with hoes, they just did with a hoe. They leveled it probably, yeah, you can see the depth of it. Now I have a quarter of an acre that's level and chicken manure. They're ready to plant up some moringa tree. We have a market for moringa. This is our third farm we just purchased out the Solwezi towards the Congo, half an hour. So we have this swamp beside us. It's our boundary. So we just took a few workers out there and cleared that to plant some moringa. There's 15 hectares.
So this is what they call the Dumbo, the wet area on the edge of our new 15 hectares. So I'll just take you through where we're preparing as much as we can for moringa. So we enter in then into the bamboo, the rainforest effect. You can see the smoke through the trees where they're preparing lunch. But these boys, it's now 12, we've worked since 10, just to clear the land and plant our seed. The rain season is still around, so we have a good chance.
Come on.
Very energetic men. We brought them from the farm just for this day. We got all up there to do, but we will achieve by God's grace.
Yes, we will. We will.
Here we are. Back on the third farm with the chairman of the board, just to show him the progress we've already done in 2 days' work. Guys have slashed all this and now they're planting the second patch, about to knock off because of the storms coming.
We have a pig grower over there that uses moringa. He grows his pigs to 80 kilos 6 weeks faster by using moringa and a few other turmeric and stuff in his feed. So it's just a tree. If you Google it, it's full of vitamins. It's good for us. We should have moringa tea, moringa ourselves. So just Google it and find out what it is. You can grow a tree. Daryl and Glenda have a tree. Ask them about it. This is the man from Zimbabwe. It's just a green leafy tree. They use bark and everything. You can chop it up. Grows very fast. So this is his church. Lovely man. You see how God's blessed him. This is a food package he gave his church through COVID. Because they weren't allowed to open their stalls, some of the Zimbabwe and some of the countries. This is his garden now. On the left, you can see the piles of grass and compost that he's piled up. And if someone's even blessed him with a tank now, he must have some contacts somewhere in Australia and they've blessed him. But his heart is to reach so many with it. Just to feed his people. Yeah. I can see his soil is good. I'm envious of that. Yeah, that's his water tank now. So, water is life. This is out in Machinchi area where we built that for a couple of orphan girls. So we touch a lot of areas. Just a sample of the old man that we bring a bag of mealy meal and some eggs and some cooking oil each month. Then they come to the farm and get vegetables. This is another school, Christian community school. They had a terrible garden, but now they're growing enough vegetables for 200 students and selling some. Because every week we'd go out there and just show them. This man came, they had planted 2 hectares but they had no fertilizer. So we helped them with 2 bags of fertilizer. We do community work. We're mowing the roundabout in town, growing flowers. This is just a single lady that came to the farm and she started her own garden. As you can see, they dig a hole and just fill it with water when they want to water. I'm just giving you an overview. This is my mechanic with the cap in the white. And Monet is the one who brings fish from Namibia, but we contacted because he makes fish fertilizer. Not a Christian, but a great guy. Mac is a Christian and does a lot of missions vehicles. And I help train his panel beaters and stuff to do a better job. So now they do all these latest Hiluxes. These miners, these mine companies, they roll their vehicles a lot. New Hiluxes and stuff. So Mac just chops the roof off and re-straightens it and puts it back on and is very busy. That last verse, I just want to finish with that. Philippians 1:6. We have to be confident that the good work that God has started in you, he will complete it. Right? Be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Okay, so don't feel inadequate. Just be open to be built up, others to be brought beside you, and to fulfill that vision you have that of working for the kingdom of God. May you be encouraged. You've seen what God has done through this Aussie. And I just feel so fulfilled because as I left, God just put in place so many things that were just... Erica, I haven't mentioned Erica much. I said, Erica, I need some photos of you. Said, I don't get in front of the camera. But God brought her along like 7 years ago now in a very different way. You know, she was going to marry a Zambian she met through a team mission, adult team, and that didn't work out, but she came back for 12 months and now she's been there for 7 years. And it's like she fulfills that office work. She is just fantastic at fulfilling that role and getting her hands dirty even and delivering out and driving the truck. She loves it all. So... if there's a call, you know, there's an opening. There's always an opening in the mission field. We have so many coming to our door every day and say, sorry, we just got to say sorry. We don't have the funds. We don't have the manpower. And so out of one of the girls that we have employed now, Lynette, you'll see a photo of her up the back. I'd like to put her on staff and train her to be part of our staff because she is switched on with computers. Her auntie put her into nursing because her friend opened a nurse. This is just a story. Opened her up. Her friend opened up a nursing college. So her auntie got her and said, Lynette, you'll do nursing. Paid for the first 2 terms and then just left her floating. So she come knocking on our door saying, we've heard that you help. Yes, we help. We're living hope. We help. But we have nothing in our fund now. So if you like to work on our farm, you can make 600 kwacha, you can make $100 a month. And she said, I can do that. But she is so switched on. She has such a huge smile all the time. She can get our Aussie jokes. She's good on the computer. She just fits into the team. Loves children. Loves delivering and blessing people. And I thought, Lynette, I hope you're thinking twice about nursing. because me, I want to steal you. I want you for Living Hope. So, you know, and she has agreed. So, but we need, you know, just that funding to pay her $150 probably a month so we can employ her and use her to the full potential. Thank you for your time. And I'll just close there. It's already 11 o'clock. Father, we want to thank you for this morning. Father, we sense your presence even as we worshiped you this morning. We've set aside those things around us and that can attract us to listen to your voice, just to worship together as a family, Father. Draw nearer to you as we remember you in communion, Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you didn't get sidetracked. You focused. You were steadfast. Father, may you impart in us that same focus, that as we just live this life, may we feel fulfilled in the purposes you've brought us into the kingdom for. May we be diligent, Father. Father, don't let us go. We know that you're following us. And even this morning, you're talking to each one of us, encouraging us just to be that good seed, to be that fruitful life for the kingdom of God. Father, thank you for your word that speaks into our life. Thank you that we have that eternal connection with you that gives us that hope. Father, we just pray a blessing upon each family that's represented here. And we pray for those that aren't Christians, that haven't followed you, that have been raised in the Christian environment, that they've gone out seeking after life. But Father, draw them back into your fold. Draw them back like the prodigal son. Father, reach out to them. Touch them right now where they are. Father, there's so much to harvest in this time, in these last days. Father, we ask that you'll give us the confidence that we are more than victors. We are not victims, but we are victors, Father, and we stand for the truth of the word of God, and you'll be there for us when we face stand before those that will challenge us. Father, may we challenge them in our walk. May we challenge them in the fruits of the Spirit. May we be there, a challenge to them in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you. Amen.